Welcome to the Thursday Movie Review. This is Geoff Hopkins. It is the time of the week where we take a look at the week's new film releases on the big and the small screen. And I am joined, as always, by the movie critic and broadcaster Mark Searby. Hello to you.
Hello.
How's things?
Yeah, very good. Very busy.
Good. Plenty of films around at the minute. Two films at the cinema that you want to tell us about this week. Our first movie that stars James McAvoy, who was in, I think, the later X-Men films as a young Professor Xavier. I do have the X-Men films on Blu-ray at home, still in the shrink wrapping from a couple of Christmases ago, which is excellent. So he is in this film called Split, playing a rather interesting character from what I've seen of the trailer. Tell me about this then.
He plays a man with 24 distinct personalities, and one day he kidnaps three girls, and those girls must band together to find some of the different personalities can help them escape. The film is actually directed by M. Night Shyamalan, who made The Sixth Sense and a bunch of other films, you know, Unbreakable as well, that have kind of been depleting in quality, I think. You know, he's constantly trying to go for this twist every time, and it's just not paying off. And every time I turn up, I really hope that he makes a good film, you know, a really great film. So turning up to Split, I hoped it would be a big return for him, especially with having James McAvoy as the lead actor. But it isn't. It just adds to the pile of rubbish that he's been making since The Village. The film actually sets up a very interesting and slightly scary story. The first third is chilling and rather weird, especially when introduced to some of the personalities. There is a little bit of humour as well that comes from a couple of the personalities, but then the film decides to throw all of that good work away that it's built up in favour of, well, to be honest, I'm not really sure. It's much like the split personalities of the film. It's sort of all over the place, to be honest, and it contradicts itself so badly. There is a doctor that James McAvoy's character goes to see about his personalities, but that story arc feels as if it's there simply to justify that he is a real person. The big finale is a complete misstep of ideas and themes. There's a moment in it which neglects everything that has been mentioned before, and you kind of think, but that would have been the perfect moment, and it's not. Also, the talk of 24 split personalities is completely wrong, because on the end credits, it only lists seven. So if a film isn't getting the basics right, then what hope is there for the bigger things? It not only is Split a wasted opportunity to talk about mental health, it also wastes four good actors, because the three girls in it are very good, as well as James McAvoy. It also wastes a decent opening first act. It's just an infuriating mess of a drama, a horror as well, and a thriller. See, this is the thing. It doesn't have a clue, and in turn, we don't have a clue what it's doing either.
What was your overriding feeling as you walked out the cinema after watching this?
That he'd missed really good opportunities. There was really good moments in that film where you thought, oh, if that pays off at the end, fantastic. He's really thought about this, and it doesn't.
Okay, at cinemas now, James McAvoy, he is in Split. Let's see if you preferred your second film this week, your second big screen review, focusing on the events and the aftermath of an historical event I think most of us will know a bit about, the assassination of JFK back in 1963. But this one is telling the story through the eyes of the First Lady. Tell me about Jackie.
Well, it's following on just after the assassination of President Kennedy. His wife and the First Lady, Jackie Kennedy, must fight through grief and trauma to regain her faith, console her children, and define her husband's legacy. Now, in the main role here, we've got Natalie Portman. I've got to say, she is off camera for probably a total of 5 minutes in this entire film. The rest of it has her front and centre of everything that's happening. And she's outstanding in this. It's a performance to rival the best biopics of all time. She looks great. She sounds like Jackie Kennedy. She acts exactly like Jackie Kennedy. Early on, we kind of see her talking to a TV crew that are walking around the White House. And she comes off as very regal when doing it. But then that's a complete change to the rest of the film, which is set within the minutes, hours, and couple of days after the assassination, where we see Jackie go through so many emotions and thoughts. I mean, there's one moment where she's back on Air Force One after the death confirmation, and she's just wandering around and constantly babbling, just incessantly babbling on to anybody who's listening. And she's basically lost everything that kept her sane. And then she realizes she's got to be strong in front of not just her children, but obviously the whole world who are watching as well. So we see this slow rise of power start to come from inside as she commands the other Kennedys on what to do. And she realizes that, okay, I may not be the first lady anymore, but she still holds all of this power that the office decrees on somebody. And she eventually becomes so headstrong that, and takes hold of the entire situation to obviously establish her husband's legacy. And it's going to be a huge monumental one as well. I think it does a very good job of putting the viewer right in the heart of Jackie, so to speak. There's been quite a few films about Kennedy's assassination, but none have explored Jackie's side of it. And I think this does an absolutely captivating job of showing what it was like for her being in the centre of it all. It's a very affecting political film and also a really heartbreaking personal story of loss. I kind of think this is probably one of the best solo biopics of the past decade.
Oscar contender?
Absolutely. Natalie Portman, absolutely.
You heard it here first. Okay. Jackie, it's new at cinemas this weekend. Still to come on the Thursday movie review, the pick of the TV films worth watching this weekend. And this week's DVD choice, Stop Motion at Fantasy Adventure, coming up. It's the Thursday movie review. This is Geoff Hopkins. He's Mark Searby.
Hello.
We're looking at the movies worth watching over the next few days. And Mark, each week you pick out a DVD that's worth saying something about, good or bad. This week, a film that came out last year to rave reviews. You've mentioned it a couple of times, especially in your end of year roundup of your favourite films of 2016. Mm-hmm. DVD release this week, Kubo and the Two Strings. Remind me what this is about.
Well, it's my favourite animated film of last year. Now it's on DVD and Blu-ray. And I've got to say, it's just as good. I mean, it's just spectacular. The story is about a boy named Kubo who must locate a magical suit of armour worn by his late father in order to defeat a vengeful spirit from the past. I just said magical. I think that's one word to describe Kubo and the Two Strings. Just magical. But then another would be captivating. Another would be outstanding. This animated film from Laika Studios, who gave us Box Trolls and Coraline, it's just a wonderful example of why great storytelling within animation will never die out. Also, that stop motion animation will never die out either. The attention to detail in this movie is just incredible. The way that Kubo's hair sways, to the way that you've got the lashing water up the boat, to even the tiny little origami samurai figure that follows Kubo all the way along. It's just incredible stuff. It's just so beautiful to watch. And I think that adults will marvel at its beauty and kids will love it because it's so entertaining. It's so much fun and it's very bright and very colourful as well. But not only that, the storyline is so multi-layered. You have this magical quest that Kubo's on that brings about perils, but then he has his sidekicks, a slightly kooky warrior talking beetle and a talking monkey. Both of them very funny as well, it's got to be said. But then you have the main story, which is the whole point of this film. It delves into mythology about death and about resurrection, and something that we don't see too much of in kids' films. It goes deep into the mythology at times, but because of how light-hearted the story is told, it never feels preachy. It's never overbearing. In fact, it's one of the film's greatest ideas, really, is to focus on this, but then have everything else swirling around it. It is honestly a true gem of an animated movie.
Kubo and the Two Strings, new on DVD this week. My kids quite enjoy Box Trolls. Would they like this then?
Yes, absolutely. But I love Box Trolls, but this, here we go. This is better than Box Trolls.
No,
seriously, this is the best film Laika Studios have done.
Okay, Kubo and the Two Strings. It's new on DVD and Blu-ray. Mark, thank you as always. Have yourself a good weekend, won't you?
I will do, you too.
And we'll do more on the Thursday movie review next Thursday.